because this is a Sunday of high celebration. We will eventually arrive and rejoice together in the home that God is. We begin, however, with the fact that there are over 4 million homeless Syrians seeking refuge, and a few million more who would if they could. Homecoming Sunday, at least this year, seems to me a theological and biblical misnomer. Just as the Israelites deceived themselves when they mistook real estate and the secure borders of a nation to be the place God had promised Abraham when he set out not knowing where he was going, so we deceive ourselves when we mistake this church, this building, this congregation, even our great good fortune of being together again after a summer away, and we mistake this for coming home. Jesus' words in Mark and the litany of the preacher in the book of Hebrews remind us that home is antithetical to those who are claimed for God's service. So whether you left a four-bedroom, two-car garage home in the suburbs, or a 900-square-foot apartment in a retirement community to be here today, whether you have wandered through these doors as a stranger in search of a place to belong, or you are celebrating over 50 years as a member of this church, what we know from our text is that all of us share the human condition being played out on the high seas and at the borders of nations in the lives of men and women and children whose luck of the draw has found them in search of refuge. We don't know where we belong, Andy Dillard writes, but in times of sorrow, it doesn't seem to be here. Here where space is curved, the earth is round, we're all going to die. And it seems as wise to stay in bed as to budge. We are homeless, you and I, children of God who live in a far country. Three very different words are used, sometimes interchangeably, to describe the homeless lot of God's children. The words are migrant, refugee, and pilgrim. Consider in the first place migrant. Synonyms for migrant include traveling, wandering, drifting, roving. When nation states identify people as migrants, often the law assumes that the migrant has chosen to leave one home for another, has set out in some degree of freedom for a new life, is seeking something better, is longing for a new beginning. I suspect the vast majority of us, especially the WASPs among us, have a story to tell about ancestors who set out for these shores from some other country. Using the same synonyms, you could say that the summer made migrants of most of us. We traveled, we drifted, we roved, we wandered. And if you want to know where and how, I repeat, begin in Widener Hall after the service and see the places we've gone, the sights we've seen, the drifting we have done over the past 3 months. But in most every case, we chose to set out, decided the itinerary, picked the people who would travel by our side. Once on the road, we lingered in some places and left others that did not strike our fancy. our search for God. We are migrants led by an elusive longing that propels us to hit the road again and again. What is that feeling, Jack Kerouac asks in On the Road, when you're driving away from people and they recede in the plane till you see their specks dispersing? It's the two huge worlds vaulting us, and it's goodbye. But we can leap forward to the next crazy venture beneath the skies. Migrants, drifters, wanderers, seekers, with no inkling of our destination. Consider in the second place, refugee. The synonyms for refugee: fugitive, exile, displaced person, asylum seeker, boat people. A refugee is one who has been forced to leave home in order to escape war or persecution or natural disaster. Why then, on the front page of Thursday's New York Times, and again on the front page of this morning's paper, did the headline read, EU nations urged to accept 160,000 migrants? Really? Notice in the week ahead how the words migrant and refugee are used interchangeably. When the media or politicians speak about the men and women and children who are being smuggled onto boats, herded behind barbed wire, and finally, being taken in by a handful of nations. Synonyms cannot contain the reality, which is why I turn to poet Warson Shire, child of Somali parents, in search of the meaning of refugee. She writes, "No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well, your neighbors running faster than you, breath bloody in their throats. The boy you went to school with, who kissed you dizzy behind the old tin factory, is holding a gun bigger than his body. You only leave home when home won't let you stay. No one leaves home unless home chases you, fire under feet, from the deathly powers and principalities, from deadly systems that stalk the politically and economically and physically vulnerable more immediately, more obviously, more ruthlessly than the privileged. I imagine that once you have been a refugee, an indelible awareness of vulnerability must be written into your psyche, keeping you ready at a moment's notice to flee. And while gratitude for the offer of asylum may open the hearts of those finally taken in, trust in the outward trappings of safety and belonging must be hard to come by. Ask the descendants of slaves, the great-grandchildren of Holocaust victims, the families of the disappeared in Central America. If longing characterizes the homelessness of the migrant, then fear is personified in the life of the refugee, because death has not been conquered, only kept. Also, synonyms do not avail. Suffice it to say that the homelessness of a pilgrim is not the result of a pilgrim's choice to wander in search of she knows not what, or the consequence of a despot's murderous threats against her life and the lives of those she loves, causing her to run. A pilgrim, in fact, may be someone who has been wandering aimlessly in life for decades, or may even be one on the run for life or her life from disaster. But she is simply stopped in her tracks by the call, the claim, the voice of one who has come to lead her to the home is God's love. The voice says in so many words, if you would become my follower, deny yourself. Give up the life you have been living without me. And take up your cross. Live as though death had no power over you. And follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. The pilgrim is no less homeless to the eye because he has heard these words as God's word to him. But now because he has heard and has begun to follow the voice of the one who had no place to lay his head, he travels not alone, but accompanied in life and in death by the God who is his home. Moreover, he is accompanied by the one who is on his way to conquer death by dying. Therefore, death no longer has dominion over the pilgrim. I spent Thursday and Friday representing our denomination at a meeting of the Board of Trustees of Lebanese American University. The majority of the board was from Lebanon, a country of 3.5 million citizens that has taken in 1.5 million Syrian refugees. Do the math on that with the population of our country and taking in 10,000 refugees. The headlines have already forgotten imagine the voices of the homeless across the sea and down the avenue, to be the voice of Christ saying to us, lose your life, and you will be given your life. Leave your home, for only if you leave your home will you find the home that is God's love. The pilgrimage begins